Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I have a very special guest. Her name is Haren Jang.
Hey guys.
So Haren is actually a singer, or I would like to say, right?
Yes. on the weekends, only a singer on the weekends.
Yeah.
But singer slash songwriter.
Yeah. And I'm actually a huge fan. I was showing my 2020 Spotify Wrapped to you earlier. And yeah, your song was on my list.
Yeah, that's crazy. Whenever I see that, I'm just like, I can't believe that some, like, there's so many other songs that you could listen to and that you choose to listen to it, and it actually shows up on that playlist. So that's very cool.
Okay, well, for the people listening who don't know what we're even talking about, mm-hmm. who you are, can you quickly introduce yourself?
Yeah, okay. So my name is Haren. My artist name is Hair, so it's the first four letters of my first name. I've been like really making music in the way that I want to for like the past couple years, but I've been writing music since I think the earliest was like 10. And so I've been writing music.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I wrote my very first song that I wrote was, about like someone that I really didn't like in my class. I can't believe I'm saying this. And I told them that in the song, I said that I wanted them to move to Australia so that kangaroos won't jump on them. But that's like still like that's the first song that I ever wrote. So I think from then, obviously, I don't write songs like that anymore. But I've been writing songs for a very long time. And I think that's the thing that I'm most passionate about is just writing songs and like being able to express myself in that way. So the song that she's talking about is a single off of my EP from last year, and it's probably one of my favorite songs that I've ever written, just because Aww. it's like very personal, and I also am like proud of the songwriting, and it was like one of the last songs that we wrote, but it's just like the quickest we wrote as well. And so
right, where did you get like the inspiration behind that song? I was always curious.
Oh, here, let's just
dive right in.
Yeah, we're just putting it all on the table. It was a relationship that I was in. So it was a great relationship, but I feel like in some ways we were just kind of different people and we had different values. And so it, like, the whole song is like, I didn't write it from a bitter place. It was just like wow, like, this is great, but long term, you know, we're probably gonna have some misalignment. So that's such a corporate word, but like, we're not gonna be aligned. And so that's kind of how I felt writing the song. But it's just like, it was such a raw thing, and like he knew that it was about him, and it's just like no hard feelings on both ends, I think.
Right. Well, yeah. Why is it called Sugar?
So the bridge is, it's because this tastes like Azucar, tell me that you're not searching for a fix just a little bit to go back to the start. So it's like, when I think about Azucar, which is the Spanish way of saying sugar, it's like Azucar sometimes gets translated as like cocaine. It's like a drug. So it's like something that you want like just a little bit of, hoping that like you can get the feeling from the beginning. And so that's why it's called Sugar.
Oh wait, I don't know why I just got chills for some reason.
It's, you got chills because it's so cold right now. But yeah, so that's like, that was it. And it's not supposed to be like, again, bitter. It's just, that's kind of how I felt about the relationship.
And from my understanding, you're doing this plus your like full-time corporate job.
Yeah, so yeah. Like Monday through Friday, I'm Haren Jang. And like exclusively that, and you can reach me on Microsoft Teams, and I have, you know, the best PowerPoints, and I work in tech consulting, and I've been doing it for like 2 years. And so I do that, and then outside of that I get to do music.
Oh, okay. How do you balance all of that though?
That's
actually something I get asked a lot too,
balancing like music and stuff. Yeah, I think like really the most practical way that I would say, because I always like to like give actions to stuff that I would recommend, like is like scheduling and just being really good about like you make, I make, like, I used to make calendar invites for like me and my producers that I would work with, and setting like actually like isolated time for yourself to write stuff. So after work, like you have dinner and then you say 2 hours, I'm just going to work on this.
I mean, I totally agree with the scheduling thing. Yeah. I'm more of a visual person. Mm-hmm. So like when people ask me, oh, how do you balance like the podcast and work and friends and boyfriends? Just like, yeah, it's a lot. But I feel like if you do write it all down and just, it sounds so simple, but like having it visually in front of you, it helps so much.
Yeah.
Because you can see where all of your time is going.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just me. I know some people, they prefer to just, I don't know, like cut back on certain things, but I don't know. I like all of these different parts of my life are so important to me. So I don't want to really pull back.
That what she said. So that's exactly what I was going to say. And I'm so glad you stole that from me and you said it in a better way. No, but that's exactly how I feel, is like, even you can't just be working all the time. And I think some people operate really well, but I think for me, like I get, so much inspiration from just like being like, I guess in a sense, like human, not to sound like corny or anything, but just like being able to live my life and having certain conversations with friends and family and like knowing like the values that are important to me is like, I can only do that by exploring more of that. So I think that is like one way that you do in a way like balance it. You like keep your sanity.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
and just get inspiration in the most like organic way, instead of like, I don't know. I know some people that would really excel in like reading and like learning more about their craft, but I don't know. I think for me, like I, because work used to be so demanding when I was traveling, it it definitely, like when it got to the weekends, like it kind of makes you like a very like rigid person over time.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think spending time with people you love, but also people who inspire you or people who are just like like-minded, like spending time with them, that for me is my, I guess, form of self-care. I don't know, like, because like honestly, that's how this podcast came to life too, is I realized like, oh, my first year in New York, it sucked, you know, like it was really hard. I couldn't adjust and it was just, it wasn't what I expected. But then I realized that the only times I really felt like, oh, New York feels like home was when I would have these conversations with the people in my life.
Yes.
And I just felt like, I just felt so safe and like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's why I was like, damn, I wish I could share this with people. And so that's why we were like, oh, let's record it. And then that's like kind of how I started the podcast.
That's so cool. And like, so like you moved here August 2019. And I moved here February 2019. So like, I think, like, and hopefully this makes you feel a little bit less alone, but I felt like so lonely in my first year too.
Yeah.
And I think it was because work was, I was traveling Monday through Thursday, weekends. It's hard to meet people to begin with.
Right.
You're like so tired and you want to do music. You want to do the stuff for yourself. And then so you feel like you have to, you know, hold back. And it's just hard to like meet people organically, I think.
Yeah. I feel like people have this misconception, or like I did too, that because New York is filled with so many people that you are just constantly meeting people, basically. But like that's not the case at all. Like if anything, I think it's even harder. I mean, obviously maybe it's because, you know, like we were new in a completely new city, and so you can't, like most of the time you would meet people through other people, but I don't know, I struggle with that a lot, just like making friends. And I know that's like something that a lot of like my audience too, that they always express to me. So like, how did you navigate that? Like, how did you find your roommates and like your circle in New York?
I mean, I, so my closest friend in New York right now is actually the my coworker. So,
Way.
So we were in the same training class and she was moving from Virginia to New York. And so she was in my training group. And so we had to, be like work together for a week straight, and we like really clicked. And then when we moved to New York, we like hung out, and I think she had a lot of friends move from Virginia to New York, so she kind of had her circle. But yeah, and then we just got really close, and then she introduced me to her friends, so now we just kind of all hang out together. And like, she started dating someone here, so we hang out with her boyfriend. So it's just that kind of like circle really like expanded within her. And then my roommates now, one of them I knew of from my hometown, and then the other, we have a mutual friend, and so that's how I found them, because she needed a place to stay. So both of them, like it was definitely not this like, you know, like you stumble upon them in a bar,
right?
And like, oh, you dropped your license, and it's like, oh my god, you're from Georgia.
Yeah,
it's like,
not at too. All.
It's like not as romantic as you think it is, and I think it. But when it does, when you are like in your living room with your friends, like drinking wine and listening to music and laughing, it's like those moments are so precious, and you kind of pause and you're like, wow,
exactly,
like, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah, that's so interesting how you got close to your coworker. I feel like that's pretty rare. I mean, it's like a very lucky case, but
it is. We never worked together outside of training.
Yeah.
But she was like in, like we both, we both were in New York. We both moved at the same time. We both, had like really similar experiences. So it was great to kind of like do that. And then actually like some of my friends early on when I first moved here, they were all like, people from my work. And it was, I mean, and I think like the people that you kind of gravitate towards, they stick, and then other people fall. And then so it's obviously just been a couple years of like shedding and like things like that to get to a place where you feel truly comfortable with the people you're with. So it's not like even when you do find those people, you do it because you're like constantly reevaluating, and you know, your interests change and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think where I am right now, like I have just like a core group of like pretty good friends, and I'm pretty like, I'm actually like more than like pleasantly surprised that how like it worked out and stuff. I think it's just, like I was at a low point. I was like, should I get on Bumble BFF? am I about to be that?
Really? Aw.
Yeah. Well,
I was, I mean, the reason why I downloaded Hinge when I first moved here was because I just wanted to meet people. It wasn't necessarily because I was looking for a relationship. Like, I think people, that's pretty normal. People resort to apps.
But Bumble BFF is like the horse girl of all apps. Like, if you really, like, you hit, I'm sorry to anyone who uses Bumble BFF. And I hope you get a sponsorship from Bumble.
Very soon. Please sponsor this episode.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard, and like especially when I think there's a part of moving to a new city where you feel like you have to, and I don't know if anyone's listening who relates to this, but like at least from my experience, like just like saving face and holding on to like this vision that you had of yourself in the city.
God. Yeah.
And like really like self, like preserving everything you can.
Dude, I feel that completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was almost, I think if anything, that affected me mentally when I realized I wasn't living up to those expectations. Yeah. Like I felt like I was trying to prove everyone that like, oh, I could, I did it basically. Yeah. And when at any time I felt like I failed, it just, it got to me so much.
Yeah. And it's the thing is, no one's, I think some people are thinking it, but majority of people aren't thinking
it. Yeah, exactly. It's just all in your head.
Yeah. It's just like, but then you want to make it seem like you are doing okay. And, you know, like in a sense, like, why would you not be okay? Right. Like you got what you wanted. You are where you are, and you did it on your own. So it's like, yeah, it feels, it's like, come on, like get it together when like you have those low points. But I think like even when I talk to people who have lived here, I think they do feel this like loneliness. And it's tough, and I think you just have to learn to navigate through it. But yeah, like definitely like going back home when you do visit home, people are like, oh, like how's New York? And you know, people from Georgia will be like, how's the Big Apple? And I'm like, oh my gosh, so fun. I go to Times Square every day. But like, I'm just, it's just like, it's good. But you know, you obviously want to, in a sense, like reassure them, but like in that, like reassure yourself that like everything is good.
All right, we're going to pause here real quick because I have something exciting to share with you guys. This episode is sponsored by Athena Club, which is a sustainable and cruelty-free wellness brand. And I recently got to try a few of their products, particularly the Athena Club razor. And prior to this, I was just using the cheap generic branded ones, and I would always find myself getting ingrown hairs, and I would have to replace the dull blades pretty often. But with the Athena Club razor, it actually has the sharpest patented blade on the market. So you'll get a super smooth shave every single time, which is great because I have pretty prickly legs. And it also actually has a water activated serum with shea butter and hyaluronic acid. So it's perfect for this dry winter weather. Plus, it's only $9 and you'll get 2 razor heads, a magnetic holder, and you can choose from 6 colors. I got the sky blue. Even if you don't need a razor, honestly, check it out anyways because they have so many different self-care products and it's all super affordable. There's probiotics, multivitamins, face wipes, deodorants, pads, tampons, honestly, just any self-care product you could think of. Plus, their packaging is really cute. Just head on over to athenaclub.com. That's athenaclub.com and use promo code on the floor without any spaces and you'll get 20% off your first order. I realized like I almost felt guilty when people would ask me how's New York and then if I couldn't say, oh, it's like great, like, you know, I'm doing this, I felt like I couldn't complain.
Yeah.
Because like I should have been grateful enough that I got to move, you know. Yeah. Like I knew people who wanted to but they couldn't because of circumstances, but it's just like, yeah, I felt like I didn't have a right to complain. Yeah. And I think that just made me feel even more alone that like no one really understood what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard. I think I definitely underestimated what it was gonna be like. I mean, not to say like I don't recommend moving to a new city. I always encourage everyone to do it if that's something they want to do. Because I know like people in their 20s, especially if you've been living in the same city all your life, like you just want a change of scenery, you know, like you're like itching to explore something new.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know where I was going with this.
No. I know. Where I'll bring you back home. I'll reel it in. No, I think there's always going to be two sides to like moving. Like one side will be like, it'll be just as romantic as you thought it was. But like it's so different when you visit somewhere and when you live there. And so I think a lot of it of living in the city that you visited and you wanted to move there, it's like, it's a lot of sobering that you have sobering up that you have to do throughout the time. Like you realize like, oh, if I want groceries, I have to lug two like big bags and I have to pay for grocery bags
or laundry
like all these like little facets that people don't highlight that make you feel like defeated sometimes, but like that doesn't change the fact that moving to a new city is like full of like so many growth experiences and so that was me reeling it in back for Esther.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, love this for you.
You say that too.
Oh, we don't say that here.
No.
Daisy says that.
I love that you say that.
Oh, love this for you. Yeah.
Oh, because like Claire and Sora always say that too, or like everyone.
Oh back yeah, home. Everyone back. Yeah. No, I love it. I love the whole like TikTok jargon. I'm all about it.
Oh shoot, where were we?
We were just talking about how I saved your podcast.
Oh, thank you. But also going back to what we were talking about, like the feeling of guilt, I will say to end on like a more positive note that after that first year, things get so much better. Like, right?
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know. So where did you move when you first moved here?
I was in Clinton Hill, like Bed-Stuy, Clinton Hill area, right next to Pratt.
Did you like where you lived?
I didn't mind it. It was okay, actually, for my first New York apartment, because I've heard some horror stories. Yeah. Why was that?
No. Oh, okay. I've heard of them too. I have a friend who moved into an apartment and she found out that her roommate was selling drugs out of the apartment. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So she had to move immediately. So I hear stuff like that and I'm like, oh, like the washer and dryer would not work sometimes. So like, it's definitely like not as comparable, but no, I lived in Crown Heights and I actually didn't like living in Crown Heights. So I think that and being so like in kind of a very spotty area, it wasn't even like kind of where the bars and restaurants are. It was really, it was a little further away. So I think that made me feel even more dissociated from everyone. Right. But so you liked, you thought it was okay though.
I didn't mind it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or like the best part about it was that I was right next to the subway, the G. And so it was really easy to get to the city, get to work.
Yeah.
And it was quiet. It was, you know, because sometimes Manhattan can feel kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So it was like a nice like escape from all the hustle and bustle.
Clint Hill, I think I've been there once and I liked it. It's very like residential, right?
It is. Yeah. There were a lot of like pretty streets with a bunch of trees and there's a lot of parks, a lot of families too, and a lot of students because Pratt is right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I felt generally safe also. Earlier when we were eating, you know how you said you were an Enneagram type 3?
Oh, yeah.
I can kind of sense it.
You can.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, wow. I can see it.
You can see the 3 now? Okay.
not so, in the negative ways that you said.
Hey, listeners. So comment below.
There's no comment section.
I don't care. Don't subscribe. Don't like this. And comment below because this is false. This is fake. This is all fake.
Fake news.
Yeah, I can't say fake news, but this is all fake. No, why do you see the 3? And I need it spelled out.
Okay, well, I don't know all of the traits of a 3, but from my understanding, 3s are very, like you said, goal-oriented. Mm-hmm. I can see that you're very, in Korean, it's like, you're just very tak, tak, tak. Like, how do I say that? Diligent?
Yeah, diligent would be like, that's what I think of.
Yeah, diligent. Like, I can see that you are like, you have music as your passion, right? Mm-hmm. But then even at dinner when we were talking, I asked you like, oh, would you pursue this full time? You're like very realistic. Like, you have your 2 feet on the ground.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's very
3, best very Enneagram 3 like type.
Yeah. A bad Enneagram type.
If you are a 3, hit me up and we can talk through this, but I think I go back and forth on how I feel about being a 3. But yeah, I definitely am like very goal oriented and I care a lot about just succeeding.
Yeah.
And like just to like put it blankly. And I think that's why, like, even if I wanted to pursue music full time, like, I would, as much as I love it, I would still want to, like, in a sense, like, have some wins along the way. And wins, like, being what I seem to be, like, these, like, high accolades and things like that. And I know, like, I shouldn't put my worth in it, and that's why I'm getting help. But you know, like, that's like something that I'm actively working towards, is that I know not to put my worth in those things. And it's really hard when it makes so much sense to the world to define yourself by those things. But I think that's why I'm just like, right now I'm just trying to come back to a place of like writing songs that make the most sense for me, that are like very true of how I am, whether it was now or in that moment, and like just, you know, just enjoying it. And that's why like I just get so hesitant on saying like whether I want it full time, because it's I need to kind of like figure myself out and like kind of figure out like what I really want before I launch myself into it fully.
Wait, you said getting help as in you started therapy?
Getting therapy.
Oh, did you just start recently?
I started last month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I started last month, but like I didn't start it for these types of issues.
Right.
There's a lot of issues here, but
don't we all?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues, but I mainly just went for like just like anxiety, because I feel like, so I mean, yeah, so I would say 70% of 2020 was good, in that like I got my EP and like that was the first full length project that I finished. But towards this like latter half of the, or not even the latter, just like the tail of the year is when it got really, I started feeling really anxious. Mm. And that's when I felt like the effects of the pandemic were really like starting to like wear and tear.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So.
No, I feel that completely. I think it was like the middle to towards the end mm-hmm. of 2020 also.
Yeah.
I had never felt anxiety.
Really?
All my life until last year, I think. I would wake wow. up like every morning with just like a pit in my stomach or like, you know that like heavy yeah. feeling in your chest?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I couldn't stay asleep for longer than 2-3 hours. Yeah. It was just like, it got to a point where it was really bad. And so I went back home to uh-huh. Oregon to my family because I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I just need to be around people who like love me and that, you know, yeah. I care about. But
that's, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's so, that must have been so crazy, especially because like, it's such a foreign feeling that you've never yeah. felt before. You probably were like, didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Or like, I just didn't know how to deal with it. Cause my, as a type nine.
Yeah. As a type nine. Yeah.
My coping mechanism is to just like sweep it under the rug. Like I'm very good at compartmentalizing yeah. my feelings, but that was the first time I just couldn't do that. Like wow. you can't just brush that feeling yeah. away. Right. Like I'm sure if you felt that too, like, you know, it's really hard.
Yeah. 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 You went 26 years of your life without feeling. How was that? How was that?
I know.
How was life? Like, how was life without
I
that?
Just coasted through life.
Yeah,
I
dude,
don't
that
even
sounds,
know.
That sounds amazing. I'm like, you've never been anxious. But I actually have like a best friend like that who's never felt anxiety. And I try to describe and she's like, you get nervous? I'm like, no, it's like deeper than that. But it, I mean, like, so when you felt it, you went home. Yeah. And then do you still feel like that sometimes? Or like, what's the, how is it now?
Well, I mean, it'll come in waves. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've felt that. Okay. Like I'm sleeping too much now. I mean, first of all, I think my environment mm-hmm. definitely plays a huge factor in how I feel internally.
Yeah.
So when I went back home, my family lives in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So just being surrounded by nature, first of all, really made me feel better. All the green, it was just very healing. And then I think for me, I'm a religious person. So I got back to, I guess, my faith. Mm-hmm. And that definitely helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that I feel like is when I think about how I resolve my anxiety, it's like those things that you listed, but it just looks a little different. It's like going back to family and like being rooted and surrounded by around the people that like love you and pretty much like love you for actually you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so you're able to like kind of spot those things within yourself then, and like working out and being outside is like what really helps me. And so I think that's like, that's awesome that, and so like now you kind of feel like everything's leveled a little bit.
Yeah, I think first it was trying to understand what this feeling was.
Yeah.
And then trying to get to the bottom of, okay, what's triggering it?
Yeah.
And then once you kind of identify those triggers, you're able to like manage it a little better. Yeah. Not to say I'm like, I've figured it out, yeah. but I mean, it's like now I'm not too afraid or I don't feel anxious about feeling anxious.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Dude, that's amazing. Like, I think even just like knowing that there are triggers is like a really like, I don't know. I feel like that's not common knowledge. And then even though you may not feel good, like just knowing why, I think sometimes helps.
Yeah.
I think for me, like I have a lot of triggers, but the main ones are like coffee. So I used to really drink coffee regularly. And then I realized that my anxiety would get actually worse when I would be drinking coffee. So I cut out coffee for all of January. And then I had one coffee recently. And I think it's because I had a tolerance break or something. Uh-huh. Literally, I had like half a cup and I thought I could do anything. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, we need to do this more often. But no, it was like,
it's like a drug.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, this is nuts. But I did feel not so great. So it was like, it just, the next day I drank the other half.
Yeah.
And then I didn't feel great. So I was like, okay, I drink decaf now exclusively. And And then, like, yeah, and just working out. And yeah. I think, like, working out has helped a lot. Because, like, when I start to feel anxious, and it comes from, like, this really weird place of, like, and I think this is what you kind of wanted to talk about, too, is just the, this overwhelming sense of, like, loneliness has, like, kind of, like, trumped a lot of my days since, like, October. And it just came, not out of nowhere, but it's just, like, it just kind of, like, stuck. And then now it's, like, stayed. And I still am, like, struggling with it. It's, like, trying to feel, be okay with myself. And so I used to always be, like, a very self-sufficient person. And I wasn't codependent at all. And I think starting October, like, is when I started to really feel, like, dependent on people. And it just, like, and I think it's just a result of, you know, the pandemic taking its toll, just being home as long as I am, but also, like, going on dates. For I was started, like, dating, going on dates on Hinge since July.
Oh, okay.
And I'm still on it. But, like, just going on dates and, like, you really not thinking that there's, like, it's just, like, you're, like, 20, in your 20s, like, it's fun, and not thinking that there's, like, this impact. But over time, I feel like then it adds up as numbers, and then it's, like, a good amount of reasons as to why, like, there may not be hope.
Oh, in finding someone,
even? Yeah, yeah, in finding someone. And, like, I didn't think, like, it was even that. Right. Because I'm just like, oh, like, casually just like, OK, like, whatever. It's just a drink. And then, like, it didn't work out. It's like, OK, you know, you move on to next person. And then over time, you're just kind of like, wow, like, I met so many different kinds of people and got to learn so much about, like, this person and that person. And then it kind of, like, I feel like just has that, like, you hit a breaking point, I guess. And then I just became, like, increasingly dependent on my dates, like looking forward to dates and, like, having it kind of be like my like weekend.
It was almost like a vice. You were just like,
yeah. And I was never like that. So I was like, I don't know her, I don't know who this is right now. I'll be honest, I don't know who's on the podcast, but it's not me. So no, like, I'd feel very, like, honestly kind of out of my element right now. But I think, like, I'm slowly starting to, like, get back. And
I mean, I feel like the fact that you're even able to acknowledge it, like, that's the biggest step, you know. I mean, you're not alone.
Yeah, it's like dating in New York is like a different type of thing. And I think I think when you do figure it out, and by figuring it out, I mean just, like, being content with yourself, I think, is, like, utmost priority.
Right.
And I just feel like I haven't done that for myself in a really long time, is, like, prioritize myself. And so, yeah, I think, like, I'm starting to get back into it, starting to do things for myself, like writing more music and, like, working out and, like, grounding myself in the things that I think make me me. And, like, not letting other people define, like, who I am and, like, my worth. And so thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
She'll be here again tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. But this is, I don't know her. So, yeah. But
it'll be a different person.
I know. It's going to be a completely different person the next time. But, yeah, that's how I feel. Like, to be honest, like, right now, that's how I feel. And so I honestly kind of feel a little anxious talking about this. But, like, I think, like, if whoever's listening, like, if you do feel this way, like, it's totally, like, I'm there with you, and it's totally normal. And it's not something to be, like, super ashamed about. I think you don't even realize you're getting lost in it until, like, you're in the same patterns, and then you realize. And so, yeah, I think, like, to Esther's point, like, acknowledging it and realizing it is, like, one of the biggest steps you could take.
Yeah. Wow. I applaud.
I know. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. So this upcoming Sunday, I'm going to delete all the apps. Well, I'm actually just going to expunge my entire profile.
You are? And,
yeah, I am. I don't know if that's the right way. I think it is. But I'm gonna wipe it out. You're never going to see a trace of me.
Oh, wow. Is this a permanent decision or just temporarily?
Temporarily. Permanent until I say it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I'm a hit Command Z, like somewhere in the future, but I'm not really sure when that is. I think honestly though, like I'm okay with not dating for the rest of the year, just because like I have so many things that I like want to do, and I just want to be hyper focused on that. And
yeah,
yeah. But I don't know. Like, I guess to end on a positive note, just like. Right. I think dating is really fun, and I never got the chance to do it at this like capacity in Atlanta, just because I think dating in a new city is really exciting. You get to meet a lot of people, and especially in New York, like you get people from all over, and so you just get a lot of different backgrounds and stories, and it is like good in that aspect. And I did learn a lot about other people, learn just about like how I like what is important to me when I'm looking for someone. And what are the insecurities that, you know, have I thought I like fixed, but kind of still stay with me that only come out when I'm in relationship settings. And so I think that like gives you a chance to like rework those and like rewrite some of those experiences. So I think that there's a lot of positives to it. It just got to a point where it was like too, it was like all consuming. So I'm trying to take a step back from it now.
I honestly think that's the best mental space to be in, though. That's where like that's where the most growth happens. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know, I feel like with your new music coming up too, you have so much to just like be excited for and to look forward to.
Yeah. And you know, exactly, like yeah. So there's so many things that like anyone's life has to offer. Yeah. But like specifically mine, I just have to kind of get back to that space of like
yeah.
knowing the great things in my life outside of the dating sphere. So yeah, yeah, I'm pumped about it. So speaking of deleting apps, let's talk about deleting friends from life.
Oh, have right? you ever done that?
Deleting like friends cut from people. Life?
Yeah, like cut friends people. Out.
No. I've tried. And I don't think I'm capable of it.
So you're good at texting the guys. Hey, sorry, I don't think this is going to work out.
No. But it's because I don't have like this affinity. Like I don't have right. this like obligation. I think friendships are a lot stronger than sometimes relationships. And so I have a hard time doing that.
Mm. What if they're just toxic?
If they're toxic, then... All right, let me retract my statement. Okay. So if they're toxic... No, actually, still, I have a really, like, me, my dad says this all the time, that we're the same in this way, is that we, like, forgive and forget really well. Mm-hmm. Like, I, and it's mainly because I forget about what they did that I'm able to forgive. And so it's not even like, oh, I acknowledge that. It's like, oh, crap, I forgot they did that to me. But it's, like, kind of a good skill to have in that you don't need to hold on to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have had toxic people in my life. And even toxic family members. And like, it's really hard to, especially with family members, because like, there's this like obligation to be tied to them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've cut out toxic family members. I've cut out like, not intentionally, but I like as a slow fade of just like not, I don't know. And I think in though, it's like not cutting out, but it just happened really naturally of just like, you know, it became their birthday and like you didn't say happy birthday. And it wasn't intentional. It's just like you see it and you're like, huh. And you just kind of go on with your day. And then it becomes your birthday and then they don't say happy birthday. And then it just kind of like you grow distant. But I don't think I've ever been capable of like looking at someone and being like, nope. And then I like.
Right.
Right. But I've done irrational things on my side, but never where they felt the impact. And what I mean by that is like me feeling like a person was really toxic and me like deleting our photos and then like then never knowing, and I'm like, yeah, I cut you out, but like
they had no idea.
I'm just in my room raging, but like that's what I would do. I have a really hard time like cutting people out like on a personal level.
Right. So then that means you've had toxic friends.
Yeah, I've had toxic friends. Like, yeah,
what would they do? I'm so curious. I feel like I haven't had too many experiences with like,
yeah,
toxic friendships, but I feel like if maybe I hear yeah. someone else's story,
we'll yeah. give them some names, and they're okay, not okay. real names.
Okay.
So Yeah, we'll call the first one Susan. Mm-hmm. God bless anyone whose name is Susan. But yeah, like she would only, this was in college, she would only want to reach out whenever she was like, something happened terribly with her boyfriend. And just so those friends who only reach out to you because they know that you'll put up with them. Mm. So it's like an emotional support partner, like a therapist almost. It's not even a therapist. Like I wasn't even that. It was just like someone who would validate them and like embrace their toxic like patterns. And I did it from a place of like genuine care, but she just did it because it was convenient. And I knew that it was toxic when it happened all the time. Mm. And then I also knew it was even more toxic when I would be in the same space and it wouldn't happen, like not even halfway. And I gave her multiple chances and I never like fully cut her off.
Right.
It was just like I moved away and then I wasn't in close proximity with her anymore. So it's just like your friend group kind of changes. Mm. But I went to this like gathering years later and she was there and she was like really drunk and she was like basically said, I'm so sorry about all of that. And like you were such a good friend, whatever. And so that's why like that's one example, but I can't like cut people out. Like I can't yeah. like, willingly be like, I think when that happened, when she wasn't there for me, I was like, I'm gonna cut her off.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard this scenario so many times. The like the friend who only comes to you for that emotional support and they just talk about their relationship problems, you know. Yeah.
And like there's another like layer to, you know, confiding in your friends yeah. is that you can confide in your friends if like something is really stressing you out. But I think sometimes people just like to rant for the sake of ranting. They don't want a solution. And yeah, like another layer to that is like that can be helpful, but some people just want to hear themselves talk. Mm. And I think like they don't care that they're wasting your time. They just like the drama behind it. And like, I think that's
when so true.
Becomes really toxic is like, you don't even want a solution. You don't want to be coddled. You just want to be like you want to feel this like fire
right.
like, with this experience. And I think that was a very like, practical thing for her. And so that is like the most I think blatant form of toxic friendship that I had. But obviously we have like people who gaslight you.
Mm.
So do you feel like you had a friendship where like it was really subtle, but like over time you're like,
it's a little strange. Man, I'm trying to think. See, here's the thing. I feel like a lot of toxic friendships start around high school, right? Middle school, high school. But the thing is, I didn't have any friends.
Okay, so that's actually the tip to not have toxic friendship. Don't have friends at all. You heard it here first. This is the only way that works. Don't have any friends. No, but I thought you were going to say something really like impactful and I was waiting and then you were like, I just had no friends. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I was on a podcast with a loser. But
it's because I moved around so much that everyone was already in an established friend group.
Yeah.
So there was just no space for me to kind of be included. And you know how high schools are very clicky.
That's so tough.
Yeah, I didn't really find my group of friends until college. Okay. And that's why I'm so close to the friends that I did make in college.
So you went to UCLA from Oregon.
Well, I grew up in Oregon and then I went to like middle school and high school in LA.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, where'd you grow up in LA?
I was in K-Town.
Okay.
But then before that, for a year, I was in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of like hopping every year. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Different schools. But...
okay.
So so I was a loser. I'm sorry.
No. I just want to say, I don't think that she's a loser, and I like to make that very clear. I thought you were gonna say something along the lines of just like in middle school and high school, and I even feel bad talking about the girl that I did in college because like I feel like you're just not fully developed, and you make a lot of like bad decisions, and you act out of emotions, and that doesn't, you know, like excuse any of it because that also creates trauma for you. But yeah, I when I think about gaslighting type friendships, I think about middle school and high school. And I have one really funny story. I had a situation where I was really close with this friend, and I walk inside my eighth grade class and I sit down, and this guy's like, "Hey, this piece of paper has your name on it." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And it's like, "I think it's yours." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And I open it up, and it's a note written by my friend, my really good friend, about me.
Okay.
And she dropped it in the class because I think she was in the class before. And this guy opened it up, and it just so happened it was about me. And I asked her if she wanted to go, or she said she was going to Friday service, and this is when Friday service was all the rage. And I asked if I could come with her to Friday service. I think that was that. And then, but in the note, she was like annoyed that I asked, and that she was annoyed that I like was trying to butt her way in, and like just like kind of made it into this like very dramatic thing of like, oh, like I didn't invite her kind of thing. And it just made me feel really bad, obviously, like as a eighth grader, and like it's your good friend too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, man, this really sucks, and I have to figure out how I'm going to address this with my good friend. So I finally work up the courage. I go up to her, I say, "Hey, like, I found this, like, someone gave me this note, and it had, like, you said this about me, and it's not really true, because you, like, made it out to seem like I was, like, begging, but it wasn't like that." And I kid you not, this is the first time, earliest moment of me being gaslighted. She said, "Why did you read my note?"
No way. Oh, my gosh.
So that, and it was, like, just stone cold, "Why did you read my note?"
Yo, that's the definition of gaslighting. Yeah,
so I was, like, I don't know, why did I like, but it was just like,
she completely flipped the script.
Yeah. And I was like, man, that's a good one. You know, you're just like, that's good, you're sharp, that's really quick. No, I was like, man, I really did think something was wrong. And I think I think in middle school and high school, you do have friends like that where you don't necessarily know that they're toxic. And you know, I had people in high school who like make little comments. It's always the little comments. Mm. And I think there's a difference between jokes and like little comments. Because my friends like in New York now, they can make some pretty brutal jokes. But it's because I know their intentions and I know I trust them that I'm able to just like, and obviously it comes with age. But I think when you don't trust that person, and you don't have that good of a friendship, but they're also like taking little jabs at you.
Yeah.
That's, I think, is a really toxic friendship, because it's, at least for me, just because I feel like it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. And it's really personal stuff too. It's just like I'm trying to think of, this one girl just like, she knew that I hated the word annoying. And she would deliberately call me annoying. And I just like, and I think that's like very like juvenile, but like it's also like a really annoying way to get under someone's skin.
Yeah.
And like to not genuinely like want like peace for them, you know, right, at any level. I think like you can have fun, but if you're making fun of someone, you want them to be able to laugh if it's like really good intentions, right? But if you're just making fun of them, then it's not fun for anyone. Exactly. Except for you. So yeah. I think like jokes that are so malice like that are so like, I think it's really toxic. Yeah. And they just like fabricate it as like, it's a joke, whatever. But it's like, it's not. And over time, like you really start to believe those things about yourself.
Yeah. So oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
I think it always depends on like the person you're talking to, the like depth, I guess, of your relationship with that person, and the, I guess, mutual understanding that this is an inside joke.
Yeah. It's like, exactly. Yeah. It's an inside joke, but it's the equivalent of like when you say something about your dad, your family member, and then someone that you don't really know that well says something. Gosh. It feels like that, right?
Yeah. You're like, it's like only I can say
I can say that. Yeah. But when they say it's like it all comes from a place of like knowing their intentions and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Do you feel like you have toxic friendships now?
I would like to say that I've gotten to a point mm-hmm. where I've shed a lot of mm-hmm. those types of people.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I have a lot of friends. but I have a good handful of just like close friends that I keep around me. So yeah, if like someone was toxic, like at this age, I would have already cut them out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's so respectable that you can say that, but I think like you'd be surprised. There are some people.
That's true.
Like, no, I think it is like so awesome that you say that with confidence for yourself because like, I agree. Like, at this point, like, we make our own decisions. We're not tied down to a school or a community. Like, we can kind of, like make the group that we want.
Yeah.
But I think some people have a harder time with that. And so, like, what would be your advice to people who, you know, are at this age and still have a hard time doing that?
Yeah. I might be the worst person to give advice on that end just because I think if I was in that position, like, I say all this now, but... knowing my personality,
type 9.
Type 9. Exactly. I would have a lot of trouble just cutting someone out if I had a very close relationship with them. Like, if we were just acquaintances and, you know, we were the type of friends who only had fun with each other, like we were social friends, then that's a little different. That's easier. Yeah. But if we actually had history, if we've had like, deeper conversations and like I've trusted you with things, then I really don't know if I would be able to cut someone out if they suddenly had like toxic tendencies. If anything, I would say I would talk to them first. Like, if it's that kind of a friendship, I feel like you should feel comfortable enough to bring something like that up, you know, without the insecurity that they're just gonna like get fed up and walk away.
Exactly. I think like when you're in a place where like, okay, everything is peachy, then it's like, I don't think I have any toxic friends. But I think, you know, I thought of another type of toxic friend that I think I experienced in college a little bit, but it's friends who are hot and cold. And it's I think that's the most toxic, actually. It's when they are like, they show up when it's the right time, and then they have like their moments where they're like really cold and like distant, and like you don't, you feel like you don't know them. You know what I'm talking about?
Or like when however they're feeling kind of dictates the whole room.
Like, I can definitely say that about, I felt that when I first moved here about someone. And it's like, like you have to kind of be aware about how they're feeling. And like, it's, and the hard part is that just when, and it happened to me, just when you're about to like muster up the courage to talk to them, they do something incredibly nice that redeems all those moments. And like, I, because I have like this very forgive and forget type personality, I forget like what they did because of this gesture. But then it's when you're like really alone in your room, or like when you're thinking and you have the time where you're able to be like, you see it like as a full picture. And that's when you're like, okay, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to say something. And then it happens again. It's just like in this really bad cycle. And I think like, on a serious note, that's like a lot of emotionally abusive relationships is kind of how they operate, is like, there are these big gestures every now and then, like tend to hide all the other stuff. So I don't know. I think with something like that, it's so much harder. Because like, it's not this like consistent thing. It's consistent in another way, but it's like very high and low. And
I guess at the end of it, you just have to determine for yourself, like, okay, is this friendship worth it? Like, do, how much do I value this person in my life? And if the answer is that you do want them around, then like talk to them. Right? You know, because I feel like if that conversation isn't brought up, then that toxic pattern is just going to keep happening, and you're probably going to fall into a deeper hole. And it's just like, you're going to end up losing that friend. So if you don't want to lose them, then you have to like,
well, maybe you do want to lose them. You know, you and that conversation is like, like what Esther said is like so perfect. Like, have that conversation. But second is like, pay attention to how they react. And I think like that just says so much about, like, and I think people like that, they can be just inherently very defensive, but I think the right type of friend will come around and like come to their senses to some degree, but there are people who just get defensive and until the end they'll hold on to what they think is right. But
I do feel like as a friend I would feel some sort of responsibility or obligation towards like this person I care about. I would hope that in your future friendships or with your other friendships that's not the case.
Yeah, you
know, because if this toxic tendency is gonna like keep coming up, then you're gonna be so alone, like you're gonna be so lonely for the rest of your life. I think that's like, if this was a person I truly cared about, I think that's what I would think of.
Yeah. We love transparency.
Yes, we do.
No, I mean, that's so healthy. Like, I'm glad that you're talking about all of this, because it should come from that, like that place of like, if you truly care about this person, and you want them in your life. And I think like, people do change. They just sometimes need to be aware of it.
I mean, I think people will be defensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one likes being called out on their shit. Yeah. Like, but I feel like it's after you have that conversation and after some time, if there's still no change, then it's like, all right, you know, you've done your part and it's like, it's time to move on.
Yeah, for sure. So I think if there's anything to take away from that, don't have friends.
Exactly.
If you don't want toxic friends. And if you do have them, talk to them. But in Esther's case, she doesn't have any.
I don't have
so friends. She just talks to herself, and I've seen it, and it's weird. And you don't want to be here where I am. I'm actually I don't even know who this is. Yeah, I don't know. It's, and also now is the time to like, just like, you have the most time to reevaluate all your friendships.
Dude, yeah.
So if you're going to do it, in our case, we don't have any friends, so we can't do it. But if you are someone with friends, 100% recommend to do it.
I mean, it's a new year, right?
Yeah, it's a new year, and we made a lot of... I'm deleting the apps this upcoming Sunday. So maybe you can delete some friends.
Everyone make a pact right now.
Yeah. We're all putting our hands in the middle right now.
Okay, well, I guess on that note, I know you have some things coming up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I have a song coming out next month. I know. I'm so excited. It's like, it's actually... okay, so first, you would probably have to listen to my other songs, but... this song is actually like very different from the other songs that I've made. And I one like thing that does make it a little bit different is that I rap, and I don't do that. I tried to do that in college, and I was not told, but it was very clear that the community did not, was receptive to my rapping. I did not have bars and I was not spitting heat. So this was a chance for me to redeem myself. But it is just like a cool thing that I wanted to try out. So I do have a song coming out next month.
Is there an exact date yet, or you're working through that?
It'll be mid-March.
Okay.
Mid-March. And I have like a cool little visualizer coming up with it as well. So it'll be, I think it'll be cool. And then after that, I'm just going to be releasing music every month.
Okay.
So
where, like, do you release it?
You can listen to it on Spotify, the best platform ever, or you can listen on Apple Music if you're a Square. And and if you have YouTube Music, go ahead. I don't know. Like, there's so many different ways that you can listen to the music. But if you need, I'll up it on SoundCloud as well, because I know some people don't like... aren't on Spotify and Apple Music, but it'll be out everywhere next March, and I really hope you guys like it. The song is, so since we talked about toxic friendships, it's literally a song about toxic friendships, and it's about like people who don't really know what they want and kind of just pull you in when it's convenient for them. And like, I played it for some friends and they thought it was about like a guy or whatever, but it's actually about like friendships and just people who like generally are kind of like energy sucking and just not very healthy for you. So,
wow, was that an exclusive preview?
I know, an exclusive preview. You heard it here first.
Where can they stay up to date though on like,
yeah, so your music? Please follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
I've just been posting a lot more, so like I love to like connect with anyone, and I am like sending out like snippets of the song to people too. So if you want that, I can send that. But
all right. Well, thanks again so much for coming on to today's episode.
Well, thanks for having me. I honestly, this was really fun.
It was. I feel like I was just meeting up with a friend.
Yeah. No, you feel like you definitely like remind me of so much of my hometown friends.
Really?
Yeah. Aww. It's like nice. So,
you know, you're always welcome.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess we will tune in again next week or next week.
Yeah. Tune in.
Bye.
Bye.